A taxing question in the tech world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Silicon Valley companies sure know how to use silicon for profit. They're also very accomplished at keeping their tax bills way down. For those of you who spent this past winter weekend getting a jump on your taxes, consider this. An investigative reporter in Northern California has been doing some digging and calculating how much some big technology companies have saved in U.S. taxes by stashing a chunk of their profits overseas. The reporter is Matt Drange with the Center for Investigative Reporting.
It's pretty simple. So a lot of the companies that are based here in the Valley have foreign subsidiaries, in Bermuda, in Ireland, the Cayman Islands, all over the world. And if they decide for tax purposes that some of their assets are deemed permanently reinvested, is the jargon word, overseas, they don't have to pay any U.S. taxes on that money until they bring it back to the U.S.
You could look at it different ways, right? How much did they save or how much did the U.S. Treasury lose?
Right, you can. And there's a couple different estimates. Not all the companies actually report in their SEC filings how much the U.S. Treasury would gain if they were to bring this money back. So of the 50 that we looked at, only 17 reported that. And of those 17, that amounted to about $26 billion that the U.S. Treasury would get tomorrow, theoretically, if that money was brought back at the full federal tax rate, which is 35%.
Well, what are we talking about? Big companies like HP, Apple, who?
So Apple and Cisco, for example, both have more than $40 billion of that asset category. And then, Google's got about $25 billion. That number has actually increased to about $33 billion in the last couple weeks when they filed their updated SEC filing. Then Oracle and Intel both have more than $14 billion permanently reinvested overseas.
Now, when something very similar to this came up involving Google in Great Britain, Google's chairman Eric Schmidt was quoted as saying that he was very proud of the company's tax structure in Europe and that taking efforts to lower its tax payments were just, quote, capitalism.
Right.
But others think this is an important public policy issue that needs to be considered.
Yeah, there are a couple Congress members here. Carl Levin in Michigan is one, and there's also Bernie Sanders in Vermont have sort of been big on this issue, and Sanders actually recently introduced legislation that would eliminate companies' ability to defer these taxes indefinitely. And instead, what would happen if that were to pass is that companies would actually pay taxes on the money they earn when they earn it and not be able to defer it into the future.
When you reached out to some of the companies, you got no commented, but what happened when you talked to some of the accounting companies that prepare taxes for Silicon Valley companies?
So the big ones are, PwC, Ernst & Young, and I didn't really get any comment from those companies on the record, but I got some former employees who said, this is all perfectly legal, no one's disputing that, but maybe some folks in Congress, like Carl Levin, ought to fix these loopholes.
Matt Drange, Center for Investigative Reporting, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
At the Oscars, Best Documentary Short last night went to Sean Fine and Andrea Nix Fine for Innocente, about a young homeless woman and what it means to be an artist. It's the first Oscar for a film funded online through the mechanism of crowdsourcing. Last summer, 300 backers contributed a total of $52,000. It was one of three nominated films that got money through the online funding site Kickstarter. And the chairman of the board at Barnes & Noble likes bookstores, but digital not so much. Leonard Riggio, already the company's biggest shareholder, wants to buy the rest of Barnes & Noble's retail operation, but not the Nook electronic reader division. Shares are up 8.1% this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping individuals and businesses make their best impression where people learn about them first on the Internet. Learn more at Reputation.com. And by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
You may remember the big report on Chinese hackers last week. The computer security firm Mandiant published evidence of global hacking and industrial espionage tracing back to the Chinese military. Now a computer virus has infected some digital copies of that report. Mandiant says the originals on its website are okay. And I have to say, one of the most underreported tech stories of the last week is NASA nearly losing contact with the International Space Station for 3 hours. The reason? One of those pesky software updates that we all know and love. Regular Marketplace tech contributor Chester Wisniewski is a computer security expert at Sophos. Let me hear you say it, Chester.
Yeah, a software update.
It never comes at a good time, does it?
No, not particularly, although people do need to take it more seriously than perhaps they always might understand. I mean, in fact, there were some emergency Java updates available from Oracle, and criminals were already using flaws in that software before the update was available. So it's a pretty high priority issue when you have one of those things pop up.
What you're saying is this is not necessary just to add a nice little cute new feature to the software in question. Often it may be a security vulnerability that needs to be addressed right away.
Yeah, more often than not, it's almost always security these days when you do get those notifications. And that's not to say that the vendor may not be using it as an opportunity to try to push you into a new version with some new features and things like that. But underlying all of that, almost always security is at the root of it, which is why this is really critical that you try to do them as soon as possible.
All right, so maybe there's a way to integrate this in a better way with one's daily workflow. You get up in the morning and maybe when the coffee's brewing, you can do the upgrade, something like that.
Yeah, and I think companies are trying to find ways to make it easier. Apple has integrated much of their updating centrally, as well as Microsoft has, so that, it's on a more predictable schedule, and, it's less intrusive. Folks may have heard of the famous Patch Tuesday. The second Tuesday of every month, Microsoft releases a big batch of all their fixes all at one time, trying to reduce the number of times that you get annoyed by those messages. So, the security industry, of which I guess I'm part of, is part of the problem, but we are working on solutions.
Chester Wisniewski at the computer security firm Sophos. Much obliged.
Thanks, David.
And a TED Talk just got posted. Miguel Nicolelis at Duke speaking about a monkey that controls a robot with its thoughts. Huh. I suppose that's better than the other way around, right? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
You know how when you hear a good song, it just clicks? This guy kept hearing them over and over and over again.
So I found that I had this gift, this ear that I never knew that I had. And I was dazzled because everything I signed, was making it.
Good problem to have, right? I'm Kai Rizdahl, Clive Davis, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.